Well, I too want to welcome you to BCF. What a joy to be here. If you're new visiting with us, a special welcome. If you're looking for a church home, this is a great place to grow in your Christian faith. Or if you're just seeking to figure out what Christianity is all about, we're so glad you're here and I encourage you to keep coming and ask the hard questions. Let's wrestle together with the truth and the beauty of the gospel. There are answers for our questions. Today, we're going to be wrestling with a passage, the last part of Romans chapter 12, and we can call this section difficult love. How exactly does God want us to interact with a people we'd rather hate than love? How do we respond to difficult people, to hard circumstances? To people who are different from us, we might be tempted to call them the enemy. And you can define that term however seems best for you. But the bottom line is forgiveness and love can be very hard. Perhaps one of the hardest things you've ever been asked to do. But before I begin, I'd like to share a couple of stories with you. One is about my father. And my father was an army man, the son of an army man. And we grew up in a difficult context. And yet, as children, one of the things he told us time and time again, he said, a command is not only a command, but it's a declaration of the ability to perform. And so even though there are hard things that he might ask of us, that his command was an affirmation, though it might take struggle and even sacrifice, an affirmation that what we're commanded to do, we can actually obey. Another story about a grandfather, a guy by the name of Al. Old Al was frankly one of the smartest men alive. He had worked hard and he had ended up in a job as a political consultant, but because of his efforts, he had moved into one of the most posh neighborhoods in the world. And the fact is, life was good. Until one day, it turns out that his boss, Dave, rather than going on a business trip, decided to snag his granddaughter and to treat her like no granddaughter should ever be treated. The sad fact is he also later found out that Dave, who had some connections to the military, had arranged for his granddaughter's husband, who was in special forces, to be actually taken out in battle. Now, imagine how Al would respond in a situation like that. And imagine if he had been told to forgive. A very difficult command. How would you respond? What Al really wanted to do was to pour burning coals on Dave's head. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and read God's command for difficult love. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never take revenge, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Lord, today we have a hard message from you. And we want to learn, but we confess this morning it's hard to change and it's hard to forgive. It's hard to let go of offenses and differences, but we want you to change us today by your holy word. So, Lord, change us, won't you? We ask in Jesus' name. And so, difficult love. What does that look like? I'd like to sum up my message in a nutshell, and that is this. Because God loves us, we have the power to overcome evil with good. Because God loves us, we have power to overcome evil with good. Curiously, as we look at Romans 12, we see this ever-widening circle of love. Romans 12:1 says, because of God's infinite mercies, the only reasonable response is to respond to him with love, that our lives would be a living sacrifice for him. And then Paul goes on to explain in ways how we ought to love one another. And then last week from Sandy, we heard about the term xenophilia, which we translate as hospitality. It's loving strangers, loving people who may be different than we are. And today, that circle broadens as far as it can go. And God commands us to love our enemies. So how do we do difficult love? And we see first 4 negative commands. We'll see, secondly, 5 positive responses. And lastly, the power to overcome evil with good. So let's begin by looking at 4 negative commands. And just to remind you, this is in the imperative. It's very clear in the Greek. You can use the verb form, and this is the imperative. And 4 times, here's what Paul says. Do not curse. Do not repay evil. Do not take revenge, and do not be overcome by evil. 4 negative commands. Paul begins by telling us how not to use our mouth. And again, I don't know, but I remember as a kid being told, if you can't say anything positive, exactly. Just don't say anything at all. That's what Paul tells us right here. That's the first step of loving your enemy. If you can't say anything positive, just don't say anything at all. Do not curse. That can be hard. All these can be hard. Second, Paul says, do not repay evil with evil. If someone starts a fire, you choose to pitch oil or to pitch water on the flames. God says, pitch water on the flames. Don't repay with evil. Never take your own revenge. Now, the story I told about Al just a minute ago is in your Bibles. And if you're doing Bible reading with us, you're right with us in 2 Samuel. And that was his nickname. Everyone really called him Al, but the Bible calls him Ahithophel. And Ahithophel was working under his boss, Dave. And Dave was a mighty man. He was King David in your Bibles. But the story's right there. And I want you, as you read through 2 Samuel, to look at how Al responded to Dave, because he didn't heed this word. And he one of the smartest men on the planet, tried to take his own revenge. And it didn't work out real well. And God promises you, if you try to take your own revenge, it won't work out real well. God says, do not take revenge, but leave room for the wrath of God. That is a difficult command. But he is almighty, and he's all wise, and he's all powerful. And he can see to it that justice is done way better than we can. So God is clear. And then he says, do not be overcome by evil. So we're going to take a pause this morning and have our Sunday morning Greek lesson. Now, here's a word that you can share with all your friends. It's a popular word, and it's a word you already know. It's a very famous Greek word. Are you ready? Have you seen that word before? Yes, you have. That famous Greek word means to conquer or to overcome. Do not be conquered by evil, but overcome evil with good. Did you know that? Nike means to conquer, to overcome. And the fact is, when we are mistreated or abused or neglected, when we're forgotten or wounded, it's so natural to be overcome by evil. Paul says, don't let it happen. That's not the way of the gospel. Overcome evil with good. God calls you to be a conqueror. He calls you to overcome. To overcome evil with good. So how do we do that? And here are five positive virtues. By blessing, by empathy, by harmony, and humility, and service. Can you read that together with me? Blessing, empathy, harmony, humility, and service. That's how we overcome. We begin by blessing. You see, your Father sends rain on the evil and the good, and the sun rises on the just and the unjust. And so he wants you to be a blessing to everyone, even your enemies. God wants you to manifest empathy. Have you ever read that verse before where we're told to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice? Is that familiar to you? Did you know the context is how to treat your enemies, how to love difficult love? And God wants us to have empathy even for those people who've not been real empathetic toward us. And as we do that, as we learn to consider the humanity of people that are different than we are, people who may have mistreated us, the grace of God flows through our lives. And so we're to be empathetic to people that are different, to weep with those who weep, even people that we don't want to like. There's so many practical applications here. In a time in history when our nation is divided, in a time when we remember on the eve of April 16th, in a time when we reflect on the 50th anniversary of the death of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., this is a time to consider how to show empathy with people who are different than we are, with people who may have mistreated us in ways that are hard to forgive. But we have in the gospel this new way, this powerful way. We're to live in harmony as far as possible with all men, to think lowly of ourselves, to think more of others. This commitment to be at peace with all, even the people at peace who would make war with you, to be at peace. And humility, to honor others, to esteem them, to think lowly of ourselves. How different would arguments be if we responded with humility rather than with pride? You know, I can tell you at home, I'd have a lot fewer arguments if my wife just realized, you know what I mean? That's not the answer. But when I respond with humility, you know, somehow it goes better. It's amazing. And the fifth virtue we see is service. That we're to give a piece of bread to our enemy when he's hungry, a cup of cold water when he's thirsty. We're to meet basic needs. Dr. Helen Roosevelt, one of my heroes, she is a physician who was called by God after her MD from Cambridge University Medical School to go to what was at that time the Congo in Africa. And she worked there, a remarkable, dedicated woman who raised up a series of medical clinics throughout the poor part, the unreached parts of the Congo. And it was during her time there in 1964 that a terrible conflict broke out, a civil war. And at that time, she hoped that the people around her would recognize how she'd sacrificed, how she had loved, how she had served. And on one dark night during that civil war, she stayed, locked herself in the clinic, hoping that it would be preserved. But soldiers broke through the wall, broke down the door, and destroyed the clinic. And they then took her and treated her like no woman should ever be treated. Her mission agency decided that from what she had suffered, she best go home to heal from her wounds and from her emotional scars. And they figured they'd never see her again. She went back to England, and she wrestled with God. And she asked, how could God allow such evil from the people she had committed herself to love? All she had sacrificed, all she had given. People knew she had come to heal and to care and serve. She wanted to hate the people that God had called her to love. But she couldn't rest with a cold heart, and she couldn't let hatred fill her soul. And so she just wrestled. What did God now want her to do with her life? She didn't know what to do. She thought, you know, those people, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. And she cried and she wrestled with the Lord. And then the Lord spoke to her. And the Lord, in a quiet, soft voice, asked her another question. The Lord asked her, am I worth it? Is my son worth it? He knows. He knows how you feel. And she cried again. But this time her tears were not only for what she had suffered. She began to cry for what Jesus had suffered. She began to consider the price that Jesus had paid for those people she wanted to hate. And she figured that if Jesus could forgive them, if Jesus could forgive her,
then she could fight to forgive. And she could choose to serve. And so she went back. And she served again in the Congo from 1966 to 1973. She built a medical school and a hospital. All the clinics that she had before raised up had been destroyed. She poured out her life in service because she knew the power of the gospel. She recognized that she didn't need to be overcome by evil, but she could overcome evil with good. I don't know if you've ever had a moment in your life when you felt overwhelmed with anger, or when you just chose to turn off your heart and to be cold and hard and indifferent. I confess I've had moments I've been out of control with anger, to my shame. One of the things that some of the folks in our side-by-side group are doing, we're studying a book, I didn't bring it, but it's by David Paulson. It's called Good and Angry. And it's about how we can process the things we've suffered and how we can learn to respond like Jesus. Jesus got angry, but his anger was good. He was good and angry. And we can learn the same. But the fact is, the only way we can learn that is if we remember that you are beloved of God. You know, in all the book of Romans, that word is used repeatedly, but there's only one time when God uses that word for you. It's right here. Beloved, never take revenge. God wants you to know you are loved. And because he loves you, you have power to overcome evil with good. You have the infinite affection of God now at work in your soul. And because of his love, you have strength you never knew before. You have the strength to conquer evil with good. So when you see that word Nike, you know what it means. It means you have power from above to live a new life, a life that is so different. Here's what James says: wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. You see, to respond to good with evil is diabolical. To respond to evil with evil is beastly. To respond to good with good is natural. But to respond to evil with good is godly. And you have become a child of your Father in heaven. And he wants you to look like him, to respond like him. If the Holy Spirit indwells you, then all that we've seen in this book of Romans is true of you. You have been made new. You have been forgiven. You have become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Christ, the hope of glory, lives in you. You have power to respond in a way that the world will never, can never understand, because you're a child of God. Now, you may tell yourself, I'm just an angry person, or I just don't care, and I don't care that I don't care. And that's not a good posture to be in. And I'm not saying
that we're going to leave here and we're going to shine like the sun because we've heard the word of God. But I'm saying that God invites you to learn. And it's a process to learn difficult love. That's the gospel. That you're so new. You're so different. You're so alive in Christ that you can respond like he responds in a way that the world cannot understand, because God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. If you have Christ, then you and I may have some deeper repentance to do. We may, like Dr. Rosevere, need to cry some tears, both for the things that we've suffered, as well as for the things that Christ has suffered, as well as for the ways that we have responded evil with evil. And the Lord wants to soften our hearts that we might manifest love like only he can enable us to love. And if you've not tasted such freedom, perhaps Christ has yet to be born in you. And that can happen today. You might confess that you've lived a natural life, that you've not chosen to accept and to operate with supernatural power, but Jesus died for you and he rose again in victory that you might share in his victory. And so, because God loves us, we have power to conquer evil with good. Let's pray. Father, teach us that your command is a declaration of our ability to obey. We ask it with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.